wandering and meandering with all sorts of things. And that attitude is permeating the fabric of all of us as Americans. We don't feel encouraged. We feel discouraged. And so you and I, as parents, in our marriages, in our relationships here at work, when we bring a positive attitude to work, that is a helpful thing.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is part two of Dr. Randy's three-part teaching series entitled Intentional Living at Work. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And we do welcome you to our broadcast studio here at the Intentional Living Center. And as Kurt mentioned, we're in a three-day series on intentional workplace relationships. When I originally recorded this over in our teaching studio, I titled it How to Work Yourself Out of a Job. And what I meant by that was to be such a Christ-honoring, positive influence in the workplace that you get promoted. Someone else is taking on your job. And so we're kind of combining the relationship with just being an excellent employee. It certainly is important, and it is a high-stake relationship. And we'll tell you how you can receive this teaching in just several minutes. I'll talk about that. But just before we go there, I want to remind you that I'd love to hear your story on this. I'd like to hear your journey about workplace relationships and what you're learning. Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. All right. Now, let me take you over to our teaching studio here at the Intentional Living Center with my staff and with the community as I taught about workplace relationships. What separates success from lack of success is often the person who goes just a little bit extra, does the little bit more. Have you ever seen this in a situation in a retail outlet where someone you're interacting with in a store that's selling you something just does a little bit more? They just go out of their way just a little bit to care for you, to make sure that you've been serviced. Doesn't that make a difference? You know, the research shows that physicians who care a little bit more, in other words, their bedside manners a little bit more, going the extra mile, get sued less than those who don't. That's a fact. And in our lives, those of us who go and do just a little bit more can make all the difference. Because it's so easy for us to come to work and just do what we have to do. But if we just stop to understand a little bit more of what this project's about and the impact it's going to have, and maybe if I just did one more little thing to add to that, it could make a difference. And there's where I think this engagement comes in. If we want to be engaged, we've got to be engaged in terms of saying, let's do just a little bit more. Number two, what I've seen is people who want to change from a job to a sense of real mission is to be a noticer. I'm not sure that's a word. The spell check said that wasn't a word, but so I put quotes around it, but we'll use it anyway. A noticer is someone who will take today just to notice something to help the business or the ministry be more successful. Just one thing. What one thing? Those that notice and act are those that get noticed. Have you ever noticed that yourself? That there are people within even this ministry who just go the extra mile. Just, they notice something. When you walk by something in the driveway and you see a piece of trash, to pick it up. When you see someone that needs help moving a chair or just to help them. When you see that a project needs to be completed and just notice that if we did it this way, it could make a difference for the ministry. It's easy for us to be in, and I do this, by the way, I'm preaching to myself as well. It's easy to come at our work in terms of, well, this is what I've got to do. But if we stop and notice, all around us are opportunities to be leaders. All around us in this building today and in our relationships, there's opportunity to notice things. What one thing could it do that I could notice that I could change to make the ministry more successful? You look around, and I bet right now if I ask you, some of you could mention the names of people, even in this room, that you say, they're a noticer. I've seen them notice things and step in and do it and help. And suggestions. I think of the people who've brought up suggestions to me from time to time and said, hey, here's something I think would help the ministry. Being a noticer is a powerful thing. And by the way, that's not only here. I'm not just talking about your work at Family Life. We will seek the level frankly, in our careers and our work based on how we see these 10 things. These are the folks that ultimately will be most successful at the things they do in life. The ones that do a little bit more, they're noticers, and number three, have a great attitude. Keith Harrell made the statement, the big difference between winners and losers is attitude. Your attitude will determine, as some have said, it's kind of trite, your altitude. And I think it's true. Our attitude is probably the single biggest separator between success and failure at everything that we do in life. Now, what is the definition of attitude? When you think about it, what is an attitude? We kind of know it. We recognize when people have a good one or a bad one. But what is attitude? And I've shared with you before, from a pilot's perspective, the attitude is the relationship to the horizon. And the attitude is either down or on his instrument or her instrument, the attitude is up. And so it's a relationship of how we view life. Some of us view life in a downward attitude, some upward, some critical, some supportive, some negative, some positive, some helpful, some laying in the weeds waiting, see? And we all have a different attitude when it comes to anything that we do in the work. And our attitude impacts our marriages, it impacts our working relationships, frankly, it impacts how we view God. Some people, we have a bad attitude toward God. He's not doing what he thought, what we think he should do. And our attitude is an important part of being successful at anything that we do in life. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it here, but think of names of two or three people that you really enjoy being around. People that you like to spend time with. If you had a free day and you said, hey, I'd like to spend time with this person or that person, who would it be and why? My guess is you didn't think of someone right now that had a crummy attitude. You thought of people who were positive. You thought of people who built you up. You're thinking of people who are going to encourage you. You think of people that look to the future. One of the jobs we have in our lives, and one of my jobs, is to make sure that we're seeing the future with a positive attitude to see what God has for us. One of the problems in our country right now, in my opinion, is we've lost our way. There's no sense of a positive direction for our country. We're wandering and meandering with all sorts of things. And that attitude is permeating the fabric of all of us as Americans. We don't feel encouraged, we feel discouraged. And so you and I as parents, in our marriages, in our relationships here at work, when we bring a positive attitude to work, that is a helpful thing. And I could name several of you in particular that just jumped to my mind. I think, you know, when I see you, when I hear from you, there's just that sense of positiveness that comes out, that sense of hope and let's go get it done. And that, and we're attracted to that. Those are the people that we want to be around in our lives. And I would pray that I could be a person that would have a growing, positive, better attitude about things. Number four is to sharpen your skills. If you want to be engaged at work and not be left behind, stay engaged in the skills. Keep up with the technology and the advances in life.
You can improve your most important relationships by being intentional. Dr. Randy Carlson is here to help you with your high-stake relationships. In today's teaching, he presents practical biblical lessons to help you be intentional at your workplace. The complete teaching is on CD and is yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching, plus two other helpful series from Dr. Randy on high-stake relationships with your in-laws and with your adult children. That's three practical full-length teachings when you become a member. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option 4. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
You and I, as parents, in our marriages, in our relationships here at work, when we bring a positive attitude to work, that is a helpful thing. And I could name several of you in particular that just jumped to my mind. I think, you know, when I see you, when I hear from you, there's just that sense of positiveness that comes out, that sense of hope and let's go get it done. And we're attracted to that. Those are the people that we want to be around in our lives. And I would pray that I could be a person that would have a growing, positive, better attitude about things. Number four is to sharpen your skills. If you want to be engaged at work and not be left behind, Stay engaged in the skills. Keep up with the technology and the advances in life. Marshall Goldsmith has written a book that I've been reading called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Kind of a clever title. What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And he makes an interesting statement in the book. He says, previous success often prevents us from achieving more success. Isn't that interesting? Previous success can keep you from accomplishing more success. And I wrote next to that, we become complacent. We can become, it's okay, getting by. We can get lazy because we've reached a certain level, right? We've reached a certain level in our own personal development and we're satisfied and we get complacent. And it's that success that can cause us to move into failure. Constantly growing, constantly going to the next level, constantly seeking whatever it is we can grow in our lives and so on. I was thinking about this in terms of my marriage conferences when I'm teaching marriages. And I make a statement at marriage conferences to men because we as men can mistake routine for satisfaction in our marriages. Because things are routine, things are being done, everything is okay, we can mistake that sometimes to mean that the marriage is okay. And we can, women, you can do this as well. Because it's easy for us to get to a certain level and then just assume that it's okay. My computer, in work terms, my computer skills are good enough. My writing skills are good enough. My communication skills are good enough. We should be constantly learning. If you're not reading one or two books a month, you should be. You should be reading books that help you grow spiritually, books that help you think differently, to help you grow emotionally, to help you understand what Scripture teaches. I have on my phone and on my little Kindle constantly two or three books that I'm reading. Donna's reading a book right now that I recommended to her by A.W. Tozer on spiritual, development of who God is. And it's a powerful book. And I'm reading books on business, and I'm reading books from John Piper, and I'm reading books from Ravi Zacharias, and I'm reading other books to help me grow and understand, because it's so easy for us to get set in our minds that I know enough and I've grown enough and I figured it all out. And I'll tell you, that is one of the dumbest things we can do, is to get to a place where we think that we're good enough. We know enough. We should be constantly growing in our relationships. If you're married, we should be growing, understanding more about marriage. If you're a parent, reading more about parenting. What does it mean to be an intentional parent? What are the things that we can learn? We can always learn from each other and grow and grow and grow. I find asking people questions more powerful than giving answers. It was John Maxwell that made the statement. He spends more time creating the questions he's going to ask a person who's quicker and faster and smarter than he is than actually spending time with the person, because he knows that the questions that he asks will elicit the kind of answers that will help him grow. And so sharpening our skills should be something we constantly do. So often what we do is we go to school and think, I'm graduating, I'm done. It's the commencement. It's the beginning. It's stepping out. And so often we go to college and we get a degree and maybe get an advanced degree and then maybe a postgraduate degree, and we think we're done. We got our diploma and our cape and gown and all that type of thing, and we think we've gotten there and we've arrived. We should be constantly sharpening our skills and growing. If you're not quicker and sharper today than you were a year ago in whatever it is that you do and whatever God called you to do, then in this world you're going to get left behind. Because we see the divide occurring between those that will succeed and those that won't. And often it comes down to those who spend the time to learn and grow and become knowledgeable to things that matter. In a practical sense, even here in the ministry, as you grow and become more skilled, your value increases in terms of helping us fulfill the mission. These things tie together in terms of being successful and engaging in the workplace. So sharpen your skills. Number five, I believe it's important to share the toys. I get that picture because you ever seen kids in the sandbox? You get the kids in the sandbox and there's a toy and it's mine. You can't have it. It's mine. And we've had situations over the years, as you all know, at time to time in the ministry, where we get into the silo mentality and it's mine. Don't tell me what to do or don't butt your nose in. It's mine. And those that grow and are successful are team players. That's what we're talking about here. Team players are important to a successful business. If you're on a team, serve the team, become indispensable, and get it done. And team playing is something that we've tried to cultivate here, cross-functional teams, getting people together, talk about how do we as a group accomplish. And frankly, I'm very proud of us as a team, as a group. I think we've done a good job. I think there was a time in our history where we were very silo-driven. We all had our little departments, and once in a while we'd cross for a Christmas party and talk to each other. But now to walk by and see you all meeting from different departments, talking about how do we accomplish this goal because we're all in this together is a powerful thing. So sharing the toys, let's face it, you all know this. You've all had people that you've dealt with in your lifetime who didn't share the toys and they were miserable to work with, right? And when that occurs, they get shut out, they get isolated. So learning to work together as a team is a powerful thing. Number six is be solutions focused, being focused on solutions. Anyone can find a fault. Boy, is that true. Well, we're live back here in our broadcast studio here at Intentional Living Center. I'm going to pick up on that point, number six on the top 10 list, which is to be solution focused as an employee. The fact is your boss doesn't need inspectors. They need problem solvers. As a boss, as a leader myself, when people come and say, hey, Randy, we got a problem, I say, yeah, I know that. It's pretty obvious. What's the solution? And if you want to be successful, be a solution-focused person. Can I make a suggestion to you? Here's an idea, and I'll probably expand on it tomorrow in the teaching. When you go to your boss or a coworker with a problem, always bring two or three options to say, hey, I see a problem, but here are two or three things that maybe you could do or we could do or they could do that would make that better. I'll tell you what, you do that a few times and people are going to take notice that you're the person they want in the room, okay? Hey, listen, by the way, and we'll be back with the last part, the part three tomorrow. This entire teaching on intentional workplace relationships is our gift to you. When you share a gift to the ministry of any amount to say thanks, we'll send this to you, the Intentional Living in the Workplace. And if you become a monthly member, not only receive this, but also you'll receive our teaching on high-stake relationships for adult children and in-laws, plus ongoing monthly from me to you to say thanks. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
So how do you tame stress?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Well, you know, some stress is necessary. Successful people know how to manage stress. First, they really figure out their priorities. And they postpone those things that aren't important. Second, watch for that burnout and overload. Be comfortable about not doing everything. Try to stay organized. You might list what's going right. And then rest, relax, exercise, and maintain your health. Finally, do not adopt everybody else's emergency. For intentional living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to the Thrive Conference for Families and Business coming to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix on October the 26th. Register early to assure seating for you and your family. You know every day your faith, your family, your future, and your finances are at stake. And at the Thrive Conference, you're going to gain a lot of encouragement for you and your family. Register today at familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com.
Hi, many years ago, I was in management and went through a downsizing, and a door was opened for another job. They actually called me, and I took the job and worked in a warehouse setting where every day I listened to men swear and curse. And every day I ask God, why did you put me in this job? Because the door did open. And I was there a year, and at the end of the time, when nothing was happening in the company that seemed unsteady, the gentleman I worked with got cancer. And I realized that God had brought me there for this gentleman because I was there every day to encourage him and point him towards the Lord. And when he left, because he was dying within 2 weeks, I was called in and I was let go. And I'm always amazed that even though I dealt with a situation that was very uncomfortable being a Christian, I was there for one particular person. But sometimes God has us there for something other than working and receiving a paycheck.
Boy, that's great insight. That's so true. We're talking about workplace relationships, about just being an excellent employee, but also the relationships in the workplace. And we'll continue part three, the final part on this teaching three-day series, next time here from the Intentional Living Center. And I hope you'll join us. You got a business that's failing. Do the attitude check, okay? That may be more than anything that's going on there. Well, Brenda's standing by in Phoenix. Welcome to the program, Brenda. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. How do you do this for yourself?
Well, I listen to Christian music while I'm working.
Ah.
So, yes. And then, because I work in a laundry room, mm-hmm. and whenever people are grumpy or have attitudes and stuff, and they come back here and talk to me, the music changes them. And I see it, and I get more happy because I'm actually doing something that's productive, and it helps me in my Christian walk.
So you listen on the radio, and now do you do that with the radio playing so others can hear it? Do you have little earbuds?
No. It gets pretty loud sometimes because I get into it, and I start folding laundry to the beat of the music.
So you're in what kind of industry are you in there, Brenda?
The hotel industry.
Oh, all right. So you're in the laundry area. Keeping everything moving. Well, good for you. So you find that your attitude makes a difference when you keep 90.3 on the air for you and let the programming come through at Family Life Radio.
Correct. Just seems like when people come in with not so good attitudes and they're back here with me talking and I can see them listening because they're toning me out and listening to what the song is saying at the time. And hopefully they're getting a message because I get them all day long.
Ah.
So hopefully they're getting messages and they're aware that who the messages are coming from.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, you keep it going. Turn it up and just confuse the people around you. Why is she so happy and why is she folding faster than everybody else? What's making the difference? Hey, maybe it's the music she's listened to. So, hey, that's a word. By the way, Brenda's in Phoenix. She listens to Family Life Radio. 90.3.
Communicate any kind of information that you and your job that you're doing. They have the right attitude, the right motivation.
I've been unemployed now for about 5 months. I was in broadcasting, and I want to maintain that career. But hearing your show and talking about what are you doing to be intentional about being a better person, keeping your job, I realized I needed to get down on one knee and say, please guide my thoughts, my words, and my heart, Jesus. Because I would listen to some of my shows and realize my tongue was out of control.
I'm being the best that I can be, best at my job, so that my customers are more than satisfied. If I'm being flexible, as we lose people, we have to adapt and pick up more positions, and we just do it with a smile and keep giving our customers the best service available.
There you go. Great attitude. Charles, welcome to the program from over New Mexico. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Carlson, you know, two things that I do to make my work enjoyable and intentional. The first thing is that I do it as unto the Lord mm-hmm. with so much gratitude for the job that He has given me because I love it so much. It's a blessing from the Lord. The second thing that I do is that I refuse to listen when people start trashing each other. Just walk out.
Yeah.
Just walk out.
That happens, doesn't it? It drags you down. We become like the messages and the people that we hang around with. What kind of work do you do, Charles?
It's healthcare industry, blood bank.
All right. So you're serving the public directly yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going right into where the patients are receiving blood in the hospitals.
Huh.
So it's so rewarding.
So what helps you? What it's rewarding. You're helping people. That's a big part of it. What do you do when your attitude starts to sink a little bit?
Well, I just try to remember that this is the job that the Lord put me to do. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it now for 36 years that he's blessed mm-hmm. me with. So he's kept me there one day at a time for all that long.
Uh-huh. So what drags you down most often when you do feel down? What is it? Is it the talk that
people,
you talked about?
It's when fellow employees trash each other and gossip behind each other and complain about each other. That's really a bummer.
Yeah, that for sure. Okay, man. Thank you for your call, Charles. Appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do.
Well, glad to do it. Good attitude, working in a place, helping people. Good for you.
Dr. Randy, thank you so much for your coaching CDs. And I just want to thank you in an extra big thank you for 2 CDs in a month. I'm retired and I live alone, and I just so enjoy hearing and hearing again what you share on those coaching CDs. Thank you, and God bless you. Dr. Randy and Donna, the whole team, I just love my electronic family.
We love you, too. I'm glad you're listening. The beauty of digital on CD, you never wear them out. You just keep playing them. They're there for you. I hope you'll share them with others as well. By the way, this series, Intentional Workplace Relationships, is available on CD, and I think you'll find it helpful if you know someone who can benefit. It's our gift to you as you share a gift with the ministry. You know, we've had so many people joining us. Donald and Debbie from Glendale, Arizona, thank you. Dwayne and Carla from Phoenix. Here's a loyal believer from Phoenix that joined us. Here's Annie from Jackson, Michigan, and Patricia from Big Lake, Alaska. And they've all, you know, joined in, become monthly members, and also receiving my monthly teaching every month. Thank you. Listen, this is available to you. Stand with us, and we will stand with you as together we choose to live intentionally. Go to theintentionallife.com. I want to mention that we got something really exciting coming up in October, October 26. We're just starting the announcement this week, a Thrive Conference for families and business. You know, your family and your business, it's your legacy, it's your faith, it's your family, it's your finances. It's a really big deal. And we've put together a great team, Jerry Colangelo, Dr. Kevin Lehman, the Beaten Bows from Lubbock, myself, and a whole host of others at the Grand Canyon University in their main arena. It's going to be a great conference, and you can get your information today by going to familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. All right. See you next time from Intentional Living.